Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. We have a spring matching gift campaign. It's titled No Retreat. Why? Because we're being encouraged to retreat. And the Bible tells us, don't. Stand firm. Be immovable. Fixed. And that is our determination. We are going to stand firm with your support. Right now, we have a matching gift campaign, and we would love it if you would join us as a gospel partner so we can continue to produce new podcasts, new books, biblical resources, go to more campuses, and expand our digital social media footprint. We want to reach more people with the glorious news of the gospel. We're determined to stand firm and not retreat. Will you join us right now? All gifts are doubled because it is a matching gift campaign. To learn more and to join us as a gospel partner, fortisinstitute.org/donate.
You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. We are talking to Gen Z, and I want to encourage you guys today, and I want to thank you as well for listening to Way of Manhood. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download the free Fortis Plus app on your phone. You can listen to it anytime you want. And if you are listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or if you're on Spotify, consider tapping a star rating. Okay, we're in the middle of a two-part series on the truth about trials. Today, part two, the perspective and the promise in your trials. We've been examining this from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Last week, 1 through 8. Today, we'll be in verses 9 through 12. Let's be honest. Life doesn't schedule its chaos politely. You don't wake up to an email that says, there's going to be a trial today at 3 p.m., please bring your patience and spiritual maturity at that time. No, that's not how it works, right? Trials crash into your day like a group text explosion that keeps dinging while you're trying to focus. On our last show, I said trials are God's tests for growth. And we've talked about the purpose, how pressure produces maturity, and the petition, how God invites you to ask for wisdom, not explanations. And we ended with this truth: God doesn't test you to flunk you, He tests you to free you. And today on this show, let's take it a little further, because when fire cools a little, the comparison questions heat up. Why is their life easier? And why is he cruising while I'm crashing? And why does he get blessings while I get breakdowns? Ever had some of those questions? I mean, James knew the feeling. His readers were scattered, broke, persecuted, and watching other people thrive. So he says, let's fix our perspective on Christ and on what really matters. And really, the hardest part about trials isn't always the pain. It's the perspective. It's the why question, right? Why am I going through this? And when you're hurting, your vision often narrows. You tend to zoom in on the problem and forget about the bigger picture. You start seeing only the black dot on the page and not all the white grace surrounding it. And so James steps in this passage to say, whether you're rich or poor, whether your Venmo balance looks like Elon Musk's or like a Chick-fil-A sauce packet, God's doing something that money can't measure. Trials don't play favorites. They come for the broke and for the boogie, the freshman and the faculty, the influencer and the intern. But if you can see your trial the way God sees it, the way He purposes it, the way He plans on using it in your life, then you'll realize that He's building something eternal beneath what feels temporary. So if part one on the last show was about the pain that matures you, part two is about the perspective that steadies you and the promise that rewards you. That's what we need to be thinking about, Gen Z. We need to think about being steady in the midst of chaos and looking at that eternal reward. So again, if part one last time was about why we face trials, then part two is more about how we view them. Okay, so let's dive in with our third heading, a total of four truths on the truth about trials. And number three is the perspective of your trials. Got to make sure you have the right perspective. And we see that in verses 9 through 11. That passage of James 1, 9 through 11 says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." Okay, so James is saying here, your status doesn't change God's purpose. Really, you could say trials level the playing field. I mean, trials, verse 9 is saying, come to the poor. When it says lowly brother there in verse 9, it means a believer of humble circumstances, someone overlooked, underpaid, and maybe undervalued. You might feel like that right now, Mr. Gen Z, right? But the word boast here means to glory or to celebrate with confidence. And so James is saying here, if you got nothing, celebrate like you got everything, because you do, right? In Christ, you got everything. I mean, that's the upside down math of the kingdom, right? You may be a nobody, but you have everything you need in Christ. And so you might live in a studio apartment with a noisy neighbor, but you're still a co-heir with Christ. You might have an old Honda that rattles like a maraca, but you still drive in grace every day. And so you got to just be thankful for what you have, right? You got to see that trials teach the poor believer to glory, not in their possessions, but in their spiritual wealth. And when you have nothing to lose, you learn that Jesus really is everything that you need. And sometimes God keeps us small in this world so we can stay big in our faith. And so trials come to the poor, but we also see here in verse 10 that trials come to the rich. You see verse 10 where it says, "and the rich in his humiliation." So the word rich here in verse 10 isn't a sin label, it's a stewardship label. God says, when wealth fades, don't panic. Remember, your identity wasn't in it anyway. And humiliation means to be brought low. I mean, trials certainly have a way of doing that. They humble us. They remind us of how fragile our control really is. I'm not in control like I thought. God's in control, and I got to trust him with whatever he's doing. And whatever he's doing is bigger than just my little world. I mean, there could be a market crash. There could be a diagnosis. There could be a betrayal, and suddenly your security looks as sturdy as an iPhone charger from the gas station. For the rich believer, trials are mercy in disguise. They detach our hands from temporary treasures so we can cling to eternal ones. So whether you're broke or ballin', the gospel says your worth isn't tied to your wallet. Right? That's the truth, right? Because trials come to the poor and trials come to the rich. And really, this is all designed to remind us that trials are to show us about life's brevity. And that's what James is quoting there in the middle of verse 10 and in verse 11, when James says, basically, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and it withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So all of this is just kind of a reminder of the imagery from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, that just says all is like grass. And he's saying that everything that looks shiny now will fade later. He's saying in the Greek here, the verb fade literally means to waste away, to shrivel, right? It means to dry up. I mean, life isn't going to be forever, guys. You got 70, 80 years, 90. I mean, you'll be an old guy, right? If you live to be that old, but eventually your life's going to be gone. And think about it. I mean, grass grows green for a season and then the sun scorches it. I mean, that's your career. That's your GPA. That's your follower count. That's your youth group reputation, right? I mean, it's like, it's just here for a little bit. Everything's here for a moment, and then it's gone. Remember MySpace? Exactly. It don't exist no more, right? And so you got to just know that trials remind us to hold this world loosely because it's already slipping through our fingers. I mean, let me paint the picture James gives. The sun rises, heat hits, flower droops. Translation, life moves fast. One day you're trending, and the next day you're archived. But here's the good news. God's word and God's work don't wither. And the beauty of faith is that it survives the scorching, right? You, your inner man, your soul lasts forever. The word of God lasts forever. The souls of men last forever. And so even when beauty fades on the outside, the beauty of faith on the inside survives everything. So the perspective is simple. If you're lowly, rejoice. You're lifted high in Christ. And if you're wealthy, rejoice. You're reminded that only Jesus lasts. And in God's economy, both gain and grace are given only through the cross, right? It's only through Jesus that you can have any true meaning. I mean, I once read about a hot air balloon pilot who was flying passengers over the desert, and halfway through the trip, the wind shifted and the balloon started losing altitude. He realized the only way to stay airborne was to throw the ballast overboard, bags of sand, equipment, even spare ropes. And every time he dropped weight, they rose higher. And that's the picture of faith in trials. Sometimes God lets the heat rise so that the weights finally drop. He strips away everything that you think that you need so that you can discover who you really need. Right? You don't need all that stuff, right? You need time with Christ. You need time in the Word. You need time to maybe examine even the trials of others at times so that you can be reminded that one day those trials might come to you. And what are you going to do about it? How are you going to grow? How are you going to mature? How are you going to prove your faith in the midst of your trials? And sometimes you just got to get rid of that extra stuff that you don't need. And once the extra baggage is gone, you rise. Again, that's not in pride, but it's in perspective. You begin to see what really matters in life. And all that matters is knowing Christ and loving Him and serving Him and following Him. And that's the point of trials, is to help you gain that kind of perspective. And don't go away. We'll be right back after the break to wrap up our two-part series on the truth about trials.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment, who is teaching about perspective in the middle of trials and suffering. We don't actually think about that, do we? We usually tend to focus on the actual suffering itself. This is a really helpful episode, and something else that is helpful, especially if you have a high school senior in your home or you know someone who does, that's the Master's University. The Master's University understands what happens when young men are facing real pressure. See, most colleges, they're preparing students for smooth sailing and successful careers, but TMU is preparing them for all of the trials and all of the storms that they're actually going to hit in life. Get the conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/manhood. And while you're on the internet visiting masters.edu, slide over when you have a moment and make sure that you've downloaded Fortis Plus. You can go to fortisplus.org right now, or you can download it from your smartphone or your smart TV. And Fortis Plus gives you hundreds of hours of content from Dr. Tyson himself, also all of our other fellows. And this is content on trials and identity and biblical masculinity and theology. Download Fortis Plus right now and keep it on you wherever you go. This is content that is way better than wasting your time and energy on Netflix. Oh, and best of all, it's absolutely free. There's no free trials needed, and nothing is ever hidden behind a paywall. It is absolutely 100% free. Go to fortisplus.org right now to see exactly what I'm talking about. And now let's get back to Dr. Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. I want to thank you for joining me today on the show. And if you do follow the show, let me ask you to leave an Apple review or give us a star rating on Spotify and share it with a brother who needs encouragement in this area. I mean, we want to finish now our two-part series on the truth about trials, and I hope that you've been encouraged by this passage from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And as we look at verse 12, we're moving now to our fourth and final truth about trials, and that would be this. Number 4, the promise in your trials. There's an incredible promise that's given to every solid born-again, bona fide believer about trials, and that's that there's a reward coming. I mean, listen to what verse 12 says. It says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." So let's take a look at this last verse of our passage, verse 12, and let's first talk about a little bit about the blessing for the steadfast. I mean, the word blessed here in verse 12 is not surface level happiness. It means deep, lasting joy, independent of your circumstance. It's not hashtag blessed because you got a parking spot close to your favorite Taco Bell. Right? I mean, no, this goes deeper than that. This isn't just how you feel in the moment. This is a deep-seated joy in your heart. It's deep. It's durable joy that survives when comfort dies. And this is the same word Jesus used in the Beatitudes there in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." So that's saying even when you're not feeling happy, you can still be joyful because you're blessed with that deep, durable joy. So blessed, again, it's not a feeling, it's a status. You are blessed not when life is easy, but when your faith is enduring. And notice the condition. It says, "Blessed are those who remain steadfast." That's our word from earlier, endurance under pressure. It's the gym language to keep that weight on your shoulders until the set is done. You don't get stronger by dropping the bar halfway through. Right? You get stronger by pushing through the burn. And that's what it means to remain steadfast. Spiritually, that means you're refusing to tap out when the pain hits or when the panic hits or when the temptation to find pleasure in the world hits. You gotta stay firm. And this isn't just stoic toughness. It's sacred dependence. You stay under because God stays with you. So you're under that trial. God's growing you. He's strengthening you in that very moment. And God's blessing isn't for the one who had no battle. It's for the one who didn't bail in the middle of the battle. I mean, everyone loves the idea of crowns, right? Nobody wants to think about just being crushed. But there's no crown without a cross. There's no reward without resistance. Trials are temporary tests with eternal trophies. And that's what this text says. It says that you're going to be blessed as the man who remains steadfast under trial for when he has stood the test. That phrase, stood the test, is meaning when he has become proven to be genuine. Okay, he's not a fake here, not a phony. This is not a facade. This is somebody who has real character. They've got real fortitude. In fact, you could picture a blacksmith heating gold up, sometimes they say 7 times, until the impurities rise to the surface, and the impurities are what makes the gold lose its luster and lose its strength. And so as these impurities rise to the surface, the blacksmith, or the goldsmith in this case, takes those impurities and he skims them off the top and he discards them, and the result is that the gold is purified. I mean, the gold didn't just survive the heat, it showed its worth in the heat. What was left over was of great value. And that's what God's doing with you. He's not asking, "Can you handle this?" He's declaring, "Watch how my grace proves itself in you." That's what his grace is going to do. God knows you're going to make it because he's going to assure the fact that you make it through. And this test isn't for God, by the way, to find out if your faith is real or not. He already knows. It's really for you to see that what he placed in you won't melt in the fire. So stood the test here in verse 12 really means approved after examination. God is saying, when you come out of this, you won't just survive, you'll be certified. And so this is what verse 12 is teaching us, the idea here of that you are going to be blessed for being steadfast in God's strength. And not only that, but there's the reward of eternal life for the loyal. Look at the rest of verse 12. It says, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. That crown of life was not just a king's crown, but a victor's wreath. Again, picture the Olympic runner crossing the finish line, breathless but beaming. And James calls it the crown of life, not the crown for living, but the crown that consists of life itself. This isn't a gold headpiece. It's eternal, abundant life in the perseverance of Christ. This is you continuing to abide in Christ, and he abides in you. And so God has given you the very best, both now and forevermore. And he's saying, keep running. And your reward isn't applause now. It's going to be full glory later. And this promise isn't a participation trophy, right? It's eternal life itself. And I'm saying that life starts today and goes forever. And notice who it's promised to. It's promised to those who love him, not to those who had seriously doubted him, not to those who seriously failed and never repented, but it's to those who, despite the pain, they kept loving Jesus through it all, and they kept pursuing him through it all, and they kept trudging forward in the race. And if that means that you're hanging on and you're still praying, even when it's ugly, that's evidence that God loves you. So this reward isn't for the comfortable. It's not for the person who passes out and stops the race and never engages again. It's for the person, the young man, the young woman. It's for the person who's consistent. You don't earn it by performance. You inherit it through perseverance and powered by grace. A few years ago, during the Boston Marathon, a runner collapsed less than a mile from the finish. His legs locked, body was shaking, the crowd was cheering. Another runner saw him and he stopped and he threw the man's arm over his shoulder and half carried him across the finish line. The cameras caught it. The crowd went wild. And here's the beautiful part. The man who helped him didn't get first place, but both finished and the medal looked the same. That's the gospel picture. You may stumble, crawl, or collapse under your trial, but Jesus, the ultimate runner, has already finished the race. He loops back, throws your weary soul over his shoulder, and carries you to the finish line. And when you cross, the Father doesn't say, "You barely made it." He says, "Well done." There was a college student who once worked four jobs to pay tuition. Some of you may know what that feels like. He failed a class, retook it, cried through finals. He barely graduated. And at the ceremony, the dean handed him the diploma and said, "You did it." He looked back and said, "Honestly, I didn't do it. Grace dragged me here." That's James 1:12. The diploma isn't a trophy of perfection. It's a testimony of perseverance. And when you stand before Christ, you won't say, "Look what I accomplished," but rather you'll say, "Look what grace carried me through." And so putting it all together from our first show to this second show, this two-part series on the truth about trials, what have we learned from James 1:1-12 in this series? We've learned the purpose of trials. God uses them to mature you. We've learned about petitioning God in our trials. God invites you to ask him for wisdom. We've learned about the perspective of your trials. God humbles the rich, exalts the poor, and reminds everyone that life is short. And then we've seen the promise in your trials. God rewards endurance with eternal life. James started with count it all joy, and he ends with the crown of life. It's actually the same root word in the Greek. Joy that survives becomes glory that shines. You ever thought much about diamonds? Diamonds and dust are actually both made of carbon. The only difference is what they've been through. Dust gives up under pressure, but diamonds hold on under heat. And when God turns up the pressure in your life, he's not trying to reduce you. He's refining you. He's turning dirt into beauty, ordinary faith into unbreakable treasure. So when the heat hits and the world tells you to quit, remember, young man, you're not dust. You're still in development. Your trial might look different from mine: family drama, anxiety, loss, failure, but the invitation is the same. Stay faithful under pressure, because on the other side of every test, there's a teacher waiting with a crown. And maybe today you'll feel like that balloon we talked about, losing altitude, throwing things overboard just to stay afloat. Good. Keep dropping the stuff that's weighing you down. Or maybe you feel like the grass in verse 11, scorched and fading. Good, because God grows the most resilient faith in the driest soil. And maybe you feel like the marathon runner, legs trembling, almost done. Good, because Jesus is running beside you, whispering, just keep going. I already crossed for you. So count it joy. Ask for wisdom. Keep your eyes above the trial and fixed on the crown, because faith still works even when life doesn't. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that you would help every young man listening to this show today to learn about how to persevere in their trials by looking to the grace that you gave us through Jesus. Thank you that Jesus has finished the race and that Jesus, through grace, is going to drag us across the finish line. May that encourage us today as we grow in our faith and our dependence on you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.